That's right. We're going to keep you alive. Listen to this program tonight. Scientists have developed a procedure which may help end the need for transplant patients to rely on powerful anti-rejection drugs. The complex procedure involves mixing the patient's infection-fighting white blood cells with cells from the donor. One patient went 8 months without immunosuppressive drugs, and the others were switched to low doses. So science continues to work away. Tonight is a very special program. Throughout the evening, Christian Weil will be our special guest, noted author of Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair and also Hidden Causes of Heart Attack, and also has an incredible newsletter that he has just started. We'll tell you about that later. He'll be with me for the entire program, kind of co-anchoring the show with us tonight as we bring in various experts throughout the evening. In a moment, at Christian Weil on Coast to Coast AM. He's my go-to guy for health-related matters, Christian Weil. He's an author, researcher. He's devoted 7 years now to exploring early detection and prevention of heart disease for you. Becoming aware of non-cholesterol-related heart disease in his own profile in 1997, he sought to better understand why half of all heart attacks were actually happening to people with so-called normal cholesterol. Christian dives into the science of using one's own stem cells as well for actually repairing the damaged heart. As a matter of fact, in a half hour or so, we're going to bring in a stem cell heart transplant type recipient. We're going to explain that story a little bit later on. Christian Wild. Hey, Christian, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, George. Nice to be with you.
You too. Important program tonight. We're going to talk about a lot of facets of alternative medicine, things that people can do to fight back themselves. But, you know, I'm a booster of modern medicine as well. I think modern medicine done the right way is absolutely incredible, don't you?
I do. And, you know, George, it's a great thing that you're doing tonight, because medical science is doing a wonderful job of extending our lives and giving us some longevity. I think we have the obligation to ourselves to get involved in our own health care, to be preventive, so that we can enjoy those extra years when we get them down the road.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Somewhere down the way, I'm going to be doing a complete program on aspartame and how that horrible chemical got into our food system.
I believe that's the number one complaint each year at the FDA is for that particular sweetener.
Oh, and what a story, how they approved it. But we'll get into that when I do that program. What's new with you since we last chatted?
Well, I've been working on the new issue of the newsletter, working with different diseases that and bringing all the different highlights from stem cell research that are breakthroughs for prostate cancer, leukemias, lymphomas, liver disease, brain cancer, and some updates on macular degeneration, and some more of the heart trials for the MARVEL trial that have come online and are currently enrolling more patients to get their own stem cells for heart failure.
You know, lately in the news, I've read so many stories and have heard so many things of well-known people. We never hear about just people who aren't well-known, but they're just as important, believe me. But well-known people dying of heart attacks or getting heart attacks. And, you know, Christian, I'm at a point now at 58 where, you know, you become obsessed with your own health. You know, the show's going well. We're on 510 stations. We're on satellite radio. We're all over the world on the Internet. Everything's going well professionally. I don't want to screw it up by something happening to one's life.
No.
And so I've become obsessed with natural things that we can do augmented by real medicine. And I see these stories of, you know, people like George Carlin dying, John Ritter dying, Kelsey Grammer having a heart attack. You see
it's endless.
It is, and it's frightening because some of these horrible situations with these folks could have been avoided, I think, had they been doing some of the things you've been talking about over the last few years.
Some of the leaders in preventive cardiology be the first to tell you today that heart disease is 90% preventable, providing that you are being tested and staying on top of everything that you should be, and not necessarily, and this is not a criticism of doctors per se, but you still need to become knowledgeable so that you can intelligently talk to them about your care, because they are overwhelmed, and you and I have talked about that before. So you need to be involved in your own health care, because nobody could ever have the vested interest that you and I would have in ourselves and in our families.
People like Bob Hope and Milton Berle and George Burns lived a long life.
Mm-hmm.
What would have happened had they lived that life, but all, I mean, and believe me, no complaints. They lived very long lives. But what would have happened had they followed some of the things we're going to talk about tonight, some of the things we've talked about in the past? What if they had done those things?
Well, I'd be happy to have their years.
I know, I would too. But, I mean, do you think... you know, George Burns was what, almost 100 years old? I don't know exactly what he was. But,
yeah, almost.
I mean, could he have added 20 more years to his life if he had, you know, taken turmeric, for example?
Well, I'll tell you, just because you mentioned turmeric, I will tell you that it's the wonder drug of all time. And I, even though the research report...
Oh, we should say the wonder supplement.
Supplement. It's actually a spice, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
2,500 years old. Even though the stem cell report is primarily about breakthroughs in stem cell research, I'm going to devote a good portion of it, this issue, to turmeric and the miraculous things that it does. It's involved in everything. You know, the second leading cause of death among men in the United States is prostate cancer. It's no small coincidence that the country of India has the lowest incidence of prostate cancer. And that's just the beginning. It goes on from there. We can talk about breast cancer among women and how turmeric is being used in studies at the leading cancer centers in the world, and how Taxol, which is the number one first line of defense drug in the treatment of breast cancer. And even after a woman has to go through that terrible procedure and comes out the other end after having chemotherapy and radiation, the finest doctor in the world still can't tell her for sure that she's cured.
Christian, as much as a booster I am about modern medicine, mm-hmm, and technology, mm-hmm, I'm obsessed with the lies of some of the major pharmaceutical companies and what they do to try to get their drugs passed when they should not.
Well, I'm sure you're thinking about Vioxx. Here's a drug,
yep,
that brought a lot of help to people. It was a COX-2 inhibitor.
Tell, and explain what that is.
Okay, that's the biggest breakthrough that had come along was Mobic, Celebrex, and Vioxx. It was welcomed because it brought a lot of relief in reducing inflammation in arthritic patients. Unfortunately, it killed, reportedly, 56,000 people. That's exactly what the statistics before the FDA were, and they pulled it from the market. Unbeknownst to the world in general, turmeric is a natural COX-2 inhibitor. That's something that it does in reducing inflammation, and it has for centuries. That these are not just, you know, these aren't little tidbits that are picked up here and there. I'm looking at all of the journals, the medical journals. I'm tracing them back, and everything that I'm talking about is well-versed and documented in the medical journals and at the major universities. MD Anderson at the University of Texas is one of the leading cancer centers in the world. And basically, what they've done with turmeric now and Taxol, which we were talking about, Taxol is toxic as it is. When they add turmeric to the procedure, the toxicity lessens and it does not lose its effect. Now, the biggest concern is, and women understand this very well that are listening tonight, the biggest concern is after you had your chemotherapy and after you've gone through radiation, the big fear is metastasizing to the lung, and that can happen all too often. When they've added turmeric, curcumin, to the Taxol drug in mice at this point, now they're doing human trials, but in the mice studies, it would not move and metastasize to the lung.
That's fantastic.
That's just a couple of things, fantastic. And there are going to be about 30 of those in the newsletter.
Do you think one of the reasons that the big pharma does not or wants to legislate herbs and supplements, control it, maybe give it out via prescription, is because it's natural?
Of course.
It's available to us. It's cheap.
Mm-hmm. look at how what happened with the statin drugs. When Merck went over to the Orient to find out why they had low cholesterol there, they found out that what they were taking in their food was what was doing it, and they turned around and made the drug lovastatin, Mevacor, which was the first drug to come on the market for lowering cholesterol. But you can find now that there are a lot of those natural sterols that are doing just about as well for lowering cholesterol.
If you're on a cholesterol pill that your doctor's recommended, mm-hmm. and you don't want to just go off it, and we, you and I, always say, talk to your doctor.
Talk to your doctor.
Some cases you may have to bring them a piece of paper and say, read this article, because
well,
they may not know about it.
That, I keep hearing from doctors that somebody came dragging my book in and caused a heart attack and stroke. into the office. I had a whole bunch of them, one at UCLA. She said, you have no idea how many people have come in here with that book in hand.
Most doctors hate internet diagnosis and books.
They do. But they have a hard time with my books because they're endorsed by some heavy people.
Yes, you've got a lot of medical practitioners who like what you do, and
yeah.
that's important. Well, okay, so let's assume for a moment that turmeric is truly working to reduce inflammation, not only in, you know, your body for people who have arthritis and pain, but you also believe it's incredible for inflammation in your arteries. Now, tell me why inflammation or how inflammation in one's arteries can do us in.
Because it involves the endothelium lining of the arteries on the interior, but also light plaques that have developed through the years. If those plaques are sitting on a solid base, they're less prone to explode, as we've talked about in vulnerable plaque. When these plaques heat up and reach a different temperature, they're more apt to explode. So if the lining is inflamed, then the plaque itself is sitting on an inflamed base and it's not solid, it isn't solidified. But certainly, inflammation is as important as cholesterol.
Where I was coming at just a moment ago was, if we take all these natural supplements mm-hmm. and we're still taking our pharmaceutical drugs prescribed by doctors, could we do too much? You know, can you lower your cholesterol too much if, you know, you're taking, let's say, these natural cholesterol pills? You know, I think I've just been on lycopene, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, that's primarily that won't do as much for your cholesterol, but it will lower your chance of cancer.
What about red yeast rice, is it?
There is one, that's what the cholesterol drug was made from. It's the red yeast rice that they found in China.
That was it, okay.
Okay, now, if you're going to take that, then you need to watch your liver just as you would if you were taking any of the statin drugs.
Okay, but
because
I mean, what if you're taking both, though? What if you're on a cholesterol eater and you're on this natural supplement, the red yeast rice?
Well, you watch two things very carefully. Watch your liver enzymes, because the two together could it's like doubling your dosage. And you were asking a question, can cholesterol be too low? There are numerous studies, and I have them in both my books, that cholesterol below 160, and every one of the studies, and I looked at about 18, I think it was, every one of them done independently in different countries and different universities arrived at the same independent level of 160. And for older people, for longevity, they found in these studies that 180 to 200 was the ideal. When people get below 160, let's say, I talk to people all the time. I talked to a doctor who was so proud of the fact that his total cholesterol was, I think, 105 or something like that.
Mine's 135, by the way.
Well, okay, you're exceptionally good. It could be a little higher than that. But here's what happens. The body has to have cholesterol. It needs a certain level. It can't exist without it. And when the cholesterol gets too low, then the body cannot produce serotonin, and people can become depressed from it. So there's a whole study being done right now that's going to break very shortly. And some of the findings in that study is that cholesterol can be too low, and it can even cause stroke. So if it gets too low, then you have a concern. You can be fatigued. It's just sometimes there's overkill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they talk about, see, the ideal and where this all came from was the ideal was to lower your LDL. And that's true. The more you can lower your LDL, the better. The problem is, George, in order to lower the LDL, you might have to take a prescription of 40 or 80 Lipitor or one of the other statins.
Right, right.
So in order to get your LDL right, you're driving your total cholesterol down into very low territory. And according to the studies, it can be dangerous.
Huh. So I need to watch. I may be bringing it down too much.
You may be, but you're with a good doctor. I happen to know who you're with. He's an excellent doctor.
Have you been checking up on me?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. You're doing everything right.
You have to.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Anything you take into your system, anything you ingest in the form of a supplement, with the exception of turmeric, I can't find any side effects in all the literature.
And the fish oil, right?
And fish oil. Now, I want to say this for sure. In regard to turmeric, it is non-toxic even at 8 and 9 grams. Nobody needs to take anything like that anyway. But I want to caution you in one thing, and that is if you are on a chemotherapy drug, you should talk to your doctor for sure about taking turmeric. It may lessen the effect of the tumor drug that you're on or the chemo drug. The other thing is if you're on blood thinners like Coumadin or Plavix, you might, or even ginkgo, you might find a little bit of blood thinning properties in turmeric. Other than that, they don't have any side effects.
And what about aspirin? You still a booster on that?
Oh yeah, it's going to have to take second place as a wonder drug now to turmeric, as I'm finding in the studies.
Wonder supplement.
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad you corrected me.
Yeah, well, you know, when you hear the word drug, you think it's prescribed.
That's true. Anything you take in your system, any of the drugs that you take in your system for one thing are going to cause a problem somewhere else. There is a price to pay. That's why when you see these commercials on television, which I'm so sick and tired of seeing, and they list the side effects, and they go on for 20 minutes, it sounds like, on any drug that they're advertising on television, it does tell you that there are concerns.
How's the newsletter? What are you up to with that?
Well, it's exciting. Every time I'm on the show, and we even mention it, like the last time we were on for 5 minutes, the response was incredible, and it's very gratifying.
5 minutes?
Yeah. The time we were on briefly just to talk about, it wasn't Tim Russert, what we were talking about?
Yeah, we were talking about Tim. That's another one. That's another person I should have mentioned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That still hurts to think we lost him. You know, I don't know if we were talking one time, but I was watching Seinfeld on Larry King. He was talking about George Carlin's death. He said, you know, I was just on the phone the day before talking to him, and George said, you know, it happens in threes.
Oh.
And he said, so-and-so died, and I forget, but Tim Russert and somebody else just passed away. And Carlin said, so I guess that leaves me home free. And 2 days later, he dies.
He dies.
That's what you were talking about.
Yep.
Wow.
So myheartbook.com, that's the website, though, right?
Right. MyHeartBook, www.myheartbook.com. And the toll-free number is 866-STEM, STEM 123. And, you know, George, we're going to get swamped, and we're real happy about that. But I think if anybody wanted to get this as soon as possible, the quickest way, if I may say so, because you're going to get the back issues put together and sent to you, because you're going to want those and all the different breakthroughs in all the other diseases also. If you sent your check or money order for $22.95 direct to the P.O. Box, which is Wild Research, P.O. Box, 1363 Studio City, California, 91604. It's $22.95. It's $24.94 California residents. Thank you for letting me do that.
We'll be back in a moment. We're going to talk with Dwayne Gutter. Dwayne is one of the first two no-option heart failure patients to receive his own stem cells. We'll tell you about that. Okay, the fast blasts are rolling in. I'm going to spell the name of the spice for you. Turmeric, T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C. And where do you pick it up? Well, you know, you can get it online. You can get it at a health food store. It's out there. You know, obviously, it's a spice. It's natural as well. I take a capsule a day, and, you know, it works. I've been taking it since I first interviewed Christian Wild some time ago. But it's T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C. Christian, we're going to bring in Dwayne Gutcher now. He's one of the first two no-option heart failure patients to receive his own stem cells at the Arizona Heart Institute. Mm-hmm. He's been feeling great with total recovery now for 3.5 years. Tell us a little bit about him beyond what I've just read.
Well, I interviewed him for Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair. I wanted him to tell his story along with all the others who had already gone through the procedure. But what's real interesting about it, I think, George, is now that 3.5 years have passed, and this is, I haven't talked to Dwayne for quite a while, but I talked to him a couple of days ago, and it's so gratifying to hear how good he's doing still, because so many procedures, you know, they're not what they're supposed to be, and they don't have the end result. Now, Dwayne was operated on by two of the finest you could have. He had Dr. Nabil Dib, who is one of the two or three leaders in this field worldwide, and Dr. Edward Dietrich, who is the founder of Arizona Heart Institute.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, he is a benefactor of the training of William DeBakey. And so Dwayne had been, I'm not going to take too much of his story because he's probably going to tell it better than
sure.
I do, but I know his situation was he was one of those individuals who had this, was having his heart attack and didn't think it was a heart attack. He hadn't thought that way, and it really came upon him and snuck up on him, and eventually he found out that he had a very, very serious heart attack, and they wanted to give him 2 pacemakers. That's how severe it was.
All right, let's bring him in. Hey, Dwayne, here you are.
Good evening, George.
Hi. Tell us a little bit about the episode. What happened to you?
Well, this was 9 years ago, and I was in basically really good health, had no problems whatsoever. And I got hit with this heart attack that just knocked me out completely, you know.
What were your symptoms, Dwayne?
Oh, well, I was out hiking on a Friday, and I felt really cold and clammy and a cold sweat. I did not feel good, so I went back to the home and rested. It went away. The following Sunday afternoon, I woke up from a nap and went and sat in my chair. And all of a sudden, this severe pain, it was just a crushing pain in my heart.
Oh.
And I knew then it was something serious.
Did you have enough strength to call 911? What did you do?
Oh, my wife called 911.
Okay.
Fortunately, we were close to a hospital, and I got good care, but there was severe damage to my heart.
Now, what did they diagnose? Did you have blockage? What happened?
There was blockage, yes. And I think about a third of my heart was totally destroyed.
Wow. Just because of that episode? Or had
because
it?
Because of this specific episode.
Oh, my God.
Yes, very much.
That was a major heart attack.
Yes.
Okay, in terms of the blockage, what did they do for you in there? How many arteries were blocked? What happened?
Well, about a month and a half later, I had a double bypass.
Okay.
And I got some relief. You know, I did feel somewhat better, but I really didn't recover, you know.
Yeah, you got relief with the arteries, but the heart was still
so much damage.
So much damage, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I went to different doctors I would say about 5 years, and they kept prescribing medications and, you know, my condition degraded, and I reached a point about 5 years later where I was just had no energy. I would take 6 to 8 naps per day.
Oh, my God. You were operating on what, a third of a heart maybe?
Oh, maybe a little bit more.
Okay, maybe half.
But it was serious. And so I went in to the Arizona Heart Institute, and they did a complete workup. And the the doctor said, well, we could put in two pacemakers, but I don't see much hope in that as giving you any relief.
Right.
The other option is there's a research project on stem cells. Well, I knew nothing about this. Absolutely, it caught me by surprise.
Sure.
So I said, well, let's look into it. So he set me up for appointments at Arizona Heart. And subsequently, I read all I could on stem cells because it was a new ballgame. And I said, hey, what have I got to lose? Let's go for it. And I qualified for their program. It took about a year and a half of testing and mapping and harvesting cells. And it was a long process. I had every test in the book.
Yeah. They knew your heart coming and going, didn't they?
They knew it inside and out.
Yeah.
They put imaging devices into the heart and totally mapped it. They knew exactly where the damage was, where the repair needed to be done. We harvested the cells. They were sent to Boston. And it took about 6 weeks to grow 300 million.
300 million.
Cells. They did the transplant. That night, they kept me awake all night.
And when you say transplant, that was the injecting of the cells. You still have your same heart. Okay.
Yep, the femoral artery. Go ahead.
Yep. They injected the cells. That kept me awake all night. Well, I was feeling okay, and the next day I felt okay. But about the second or third day, I noticed, hey, I really am feeling good. And I questioned Dr. Deeb. I said, could this be possible? You know, could this thing be working already?
And you knew what it was like to feel lousy, right?
Oh, I was at the bottom of the barrel and lousy. You know, and now I just had a new lease on life, a new hope.
That's after 3 days, right?
That's after
3 days. So in 3 days, your cells in your heart were starting to regenerate?
Yes. Yeah. Dr. Deeb explained it to me that after 3 days, the new cells start to align parallel to the other cells.
Right.
The other cells being the dead ones?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
They fuse, is what he told me. And this happens relatively quickly.
They find where the dead cells are and they just fuse to it?
Well, they were injected in the specific area
Okay. Where
the dead cells were.
Actually, if you have the miracle stem cell, that is Duane's heart that is mapped in color in that book. And
yeah.
It shows all the damage to his heart in the NOGA mapping. And then, was it 3 months later, they took another scan, and you can visibly see
dramatic.
All the repair that went on.
Right. That's very true.
Now, at this point, Duane, then, today, assuming 50% of your heart was dead 3.5 years ago, what's it like today?
I feel great.
And you think you have literally almost grown a new heart?
Oh, yeah. Those areas that were damaged have been replaced.
All replaced.
I'm confident of it.
That's amazing.
And you can see it on the pictures.
And how about the arteries now? Does this clean out the arteries, Christian, or is that the turmeric, the fish oil, and all the other things we've talked about?
The other things, but he actually had a double bypass. Dr. Dietrich did it, did he not, and Dr. Deeb?
Yes.
So in other words, before, keep in mind, he was a test case. They were really, really careful with him. They've since, you know, done so many that it's much more quick a procedure.
And the success rate is astronomically high?
Oh, they've had it was 83% success in the BioHeart trial, in the MyoHeart trial, and nobody died, and they're moving ahead. And in the new research report, I've been given the permission to list 6 more centers where they're enrolling patients right now, and it's no cost at all to the patient if they're accepted into it.
Well, and I know you've helped some coast-to-coast listeners, Christian.
Well, that's nice, but I wanted, you know, when you and I were talking to Dr. Sherman,
yes,
and he was explaining the double-blind placebo
mm-hmm.
trial,
mm-hmm.
and you said, oh, boy, if I was in that trial, I wouldn't want to be in the placebo group.
Exactly.
I would like to know that I was getting the stem cells.
Yep.
And then Dr. Sherman said, well, that would have been a crossover study, and this one was not. This one has since then been changed to a crossover, which means the patients who are in the placebo group, when they get to the point where they unblind the study, they are automatically, immediately going to get the stem cells.
So there's hope for them, too.
Yes, indeed. And so that's what took a little bit of time. But you're going to get all the new centers where you can go, and hopefully there's one in the proximity close to your home. And for any of the people that want to know about that, it's going to be in the letter.
Duane, how old are you?
I'll be 69 in 2 months.
Okay, so you're 60 when this happened. Young guy, you're still young.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think if you had not had this done, you would have been dead by now?
Awfully close to it.
Or the quality of your life would have been like you were dead, huh?
Yeah, miserable, really. There was nothing to it.
How soon after were you walking a mile a day?
Oh, within, I would say, a month or so.
Mm-hmm.
At 3 months, I went back for a checkup, and they did a scan and did my ejection factor.
Oh.
And at that point, it had went from the original low 30s up to 54.
Well, that's you there, George, is amazing.
It is.
Which is unreal. And part of those tests... It's kind of comical, but I had to go up 4 flights of stairs.
You know,
and I never could have done that prior to that.
Christian, if a heart stays strong,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't get diseased, if you take care of your arteries, or maybe one went through bypass and takes care of the new arteries, theoretically, how long will a heart, if it's not diseased, how long will it last?
Well, now, George, that they've been able to replenish the heart with stem cells, which Dr. Doris Taylor did in an experiment at the University of Minnesota. No telling what could happen. They can rejuvenate a heart like Duane's or people who have had 4 and 5 heart attacks. We've talked to one or two of those on the show. If you can replenish the cells, rejuvenate the cells, which is the first time in the history of medicine it's ever been done, and you're talking to a prime example there in Duane. Who knows? I know one thing. Medical science is going to keep us all around a lot longer if we can do our job and take care of ourselves. You know, I'm talking about the fact that right now they are actually growing livers. Colin McGuckin and his partner Nico Fresco in Newcastle University in the UK have successfully grown livers.
Like clone livers?
Well, they're grown from umbilical cord. Now, they're very small livers at this point. They believe they'll have a full-scale liver probably in about 8 years. But what's interesting is these small livers, they're able to extract tissue, and they figure in a year and a half or two, they'll be able to repair damaged, scarred livers because what's happening is we got a generation of people that are hell-bent on destroying their livers through drugs, through binge drinking, through smoking, through all kind of things, and sexually transmitted diseases like hepatitis C, and there aren't enough livers to go around. And it's a worldwide epidemic, and hopefully they'll be able now to grow full-scale livers for transplant.
Won't stem cells injected into your troubled liver work?
They're working on that right now. I tell you, there's another thing, and that's that I'm putting in the newsletter. The most vicious and aggressive form of brain cancer is glioblastoma.
Right.
Particularly glioblastoma multiforme.
Isn't that what Robert Novak,
I hadn't heard. I know he has brain cancer, but I didn't know what form he had.
Okay.
But I hope it's not, because it's a 14-year life expectancy, 14-month life expectancy.
They say his is dire.
Well, that's probably it. I think 50% of the people don't make it to a year. See, there is, up till now, it has completely baffled medical science that no matter how much chemotherapy and radiation and surgery for glioblastoma, they don't get it. It just goes crazy afterward. It gets comes on with a vengeance. At Duke University, I think Jeremy Rich, I believe, is the researcher, have found that there is about 5% of the tumor 5% of the stem cells refuse to die. And they bury themselves in the recesses of the brain or something. They live. And they figure now, figured out a way that they can mark them and eradicate them. And they're working on that right now. That would be such a major breakthrough because they can use that for other forms of cancer also.
So though they're doing this for the heart, they haven't touched all the other organs yet, like your lungs and things like that.
They're working on it everywhere.
But each organ is specific.
Each one is specific.
Okay.
Different form of, different type of stem cell, perhaps, that is more applicable to one lineage, one center of family, rather, of stem cells.
Well, Dwayne, you're 69. How old do you think your heart is now?
Well, I'm back to where I was a number of years ago.
Maybe it's 40 years old, 30 years old. Who knows?
Yeah, it's functioning really well.
And, your blood pressure's all checked out. Everything's checked out.
Everything's
huh?
great.
You don't worry about your heart anymore, Dwayne?
Not a bit.
Now you got to take care of the rest of your body.
Yeah, I can keep up with the best of men at my age.
That's
wow.
amazing.
And it is.
Now, I guess, Christian, if you were to have to pay for it, how much would this procedure cost?
If you had to pay for it, well, what's happening is they're being done out of the country. And I think you and I had Michael Dunkirk on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it cost him about $55,000. Maybe it wasn't quite that much. It just seems to me it was.
Does insurance pick it up?
People are going to South America for $19,000. Others are paying more.
And do they know what they're doing there in South America?
They apparently do. You know, it's hard for me to ever recommend something like that because I can only point people in the direction.
Right.
But I have certainly interviewed patients who have had it done, and they're doing very well. You know what it boils down to, George, if you're out of options, if you don't have any other way to go and your doctor says you're fourth stage or you're checking out and there's nothing more in the world I can do for you, and for the price of a new automobile, if you want to take a chance and try to save your life, I think you probably ought to look into it.
Why doesn't the body regenerate these cells on its own?
Many organs can do that. The heart, unfortunately, is not one that can do that. It takes help. Now, the procedure that Dwayne had used stem cells from his leg muscle. The heart, of course, is a muscle.
Right.
They could possibly have used the bicep or the calf muscle, but after all the testing that they did at Duke and at Minnesota, apparently they found that the thigh muscle was the best muscle.
And that would be the same for everybody now then, right?
Yeah. It's, the others are using a bone marrow transplant, and they're doing well.
That is amazing. Well, Dwayne, stay strong, my friend.
Well, thank you.
That's Dwayne Gutcher. And, Christian, that's a remarkable story.
Well, it's good to hear that because it gives people hope. It really does. And as far as how much is it going to cost in the United States once they go through these trials and get the final approval, I believe the insurance companies are going to have to get involved.
Well,
it's going to save them a lot of money in the long run.
Our next guest is Dr. Gabriel Cousins. You'll be with us, Christian, so feel free to jump in with some questions along the way. We'll be back. Well, I had him on a year and a half ago. Dr. Gabriel Cousins, founder and director of the Tree of Life Foundation and the Tree of Life Rejuvenation Center in Arizona. He has more than 30 years' experience in healing diabetes naturally. Gabriel is recognized as the leading worldwide medical authority on live food nutrition and as an independently and internationally known spiritual teacher, lecturer, holistic physician, psychiatrist, you name it. Here he is, Dr. Gabriel Cousins. Gabriel, welcome back.
Well, I'm very pleased to be back on the show. I just love the great work you folks are doing.
Well, Christian, say hello to Dr. Gabriel Cousins.
Dr. Cousins, my pleasure to be on with you.
Yes, it's really a joy to be talking and sharing with you and all the listeners.
Gabriel, the live food program, tell me about this. Now, we talked a little bit about this a year and a half ago, but it's up and running big time now, isn't it?
Yeah, you're talking about the live food program for diabetes,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yes, it is running. We have programs running four times a year. The next one is August 29th, and then the one after that is is January 9th. And we are getting amazing results. And I'm going to qualify for type 2 diabetes. We're getting 90-95% cure rate. Cure rate means going back to normal physiology, not being on any medications whatsoever. This is exciting. We take people who have been on insulin for 20, 30 years, and type 2, and bring them off their insulin and other medications for diabetes in 2 to 4 days.
Oh, my gosh. That's
amazing.
And you got to understand that the American Diabetic Association in medical school, where I went to Columbia Medical School, we were always taught incurable, slow but sure death, accelerated aging. We can call it that way. The CDC, Center for Disease Control, actually says you can lose up to 19 years off your life, besides all the chronic disease, chronic degenerative aspects. And I just want to share that, people, this is really serious. You know, for men, of course, there's impotency, and then there's 2 to 4 times higher rates of heart disease. 85% of the people start to lose their vision. Now, we've had people come in who are have basically lost their work because they can't see, you know, and reversing it in just a few months.
Plus, you've got about a $3 billion a year cost just for amputations, I think, and it's $132 billion each year, if my statistics are
right.
That's
correct. I mean, they're estimates, but that's correct. That's what we've been given. It's huge, and there's basically $264 billion a year spent on diabetes, and it's huge. Mm-hmm. And people are suffering. You know, you have 70% of the people get neuropathy and then goes to amputation, then death 5 years later. Mm-hmm. 20 to 50% have kidney failure. Now, it's big time suffering and misery. And kind of a hidden factor, it doubles the rate of Alzheimer's disease.
That's right.
How many people are prone to type 2, for example, Gabriel, who are overweight, they've got that roll on their stomach, they may not even know they have diabetes?
Well, we're looking in the United States, you know, it's going to vary. It's 82% of diabetics are overweight, and about 44% are obese, which is more than 20 pounds overweight. And that roll in the stomach is really the result of what we call insulin resistance, and that's about 25 to 35% of Americans. Mm-hmm. And the insulin ends up making you deposit that spare tire. So it's like a telltale sign of what's going on.
Tell me about the live food program now,
okay.
The treatment.
So, first of all, it's not exactly a new idea. In 1920, Max Gerson healed Albert Schweitzer of type 2 diabetes with live food. Mm-hmm. So we didn't create, oh, this is out of the blue. We basically took that information and consolidated it into a 21-day program. Why so fast? Okay, what's the hurry?
Yeah.
Well, for most people, you know, our average person, they're coming in with a blood sugar of 247 on the average. A lot are over, you know, 400.
God.
Normal is 100, okay?
Yeah.
We call normal 70 to 85, just to get an overview of how big this is, how dramatic it is. So we started off with a green juice fast, and the reason we do that is I've got to get people off their insulin as soon as possible under medical supervision, and we give them a lot of intense attention. So somewhere between 2 and 4 days, they're off insulin, they're off all their oral hypoglycemics, and then it's a lot less pressure on everybody. Because if you try to do this, and we do not recommend people do this on their own, if you're on insulin, it's easily to go into insulin shock, and that we don't need.
And do you also recommend, though, that people who do not have diabetes to do something like this once in a while?
Well, the answer is, we recommend a 7-day green juice fast twice a year because everybody has toxicity building up.
Okay.
You know, generally speaking. Then we go into 100% live food. Now, and then in the second part, we have a whole physiology, you know, a psycho-spiritual course. And really what's going on is, like global warming, diabetes is a symptom of a culture of death. Now, what are we talking about? Well, I just heard your advertisement. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a worldview in which human beings, animals, and plants, and the living planet are seen as an economic unit to be exploited.
Right.
And people lose their soul connection in that process. Mm-hmm. And that's profound. And we, our work is to help people move at the Tree of Life Foundation and Rejuvenation Center, is to help people move back into the culture of the death where their love, their heart connection, their soul energy is reconnected, natural healing, not obviously non-pharmaceuticals, whole, organic food, high minerals, because almost all diabetics are low in minerals, particularly the key minerals, magnesium and chromium, vanadium, potassium, and zinc. They're all, those are all important. Deficiencies lead to insulin resistance, okay? Mm-hmm. Almost all diabetics are low in enzymes, and we add proteolytic enzymes. Not, this is, we don't do that in the first week, but then we add those things, and we add certain herbs and certain foods that stimulate the healing of diabetes and your own insulin production. That's what we're looking at. Now, with, so live foods is the key. Now, why is live foods important? I mean, why is that different? Well, it, the secret, which we discovered in this whole process, of actually informally over the last 30 years, but is a research done by Dr. Spindler, in, printed in Science Magazine in 2001. He took rats and decreased their calories by 40%, studied with 11,000 gene chips. This is very well documented. It's a major breakthrough study. And basically what he found is that there's a 400% increase in the anti-aging genes, the anti-inflammatory genes, the antioxidant, and the cancer genes, and by implication, the anti-diabetic genes. So what we get is, yes, diabetes is an accelerated aging, and live foods turns it on. Why live foods?
And what do you mean by live foods, Gabriel?
Okay, that means foods that are not cooked or microwaved or irradiated, freshly picked, you know, just unprocessed foods.
Are we talking veggies?
Yeah, well, in this program, for the first 3 months, we're talking veggies and what we call sea vegetables, a lot of, and then nuts and seeds. And then after people come to their normal physiology and their, this is an important term here, their glycosylated hemoglobin drops to normal. And I have people, and I've actually had type 1 diabetics, but we don't make any claims for that, go to normal, okay, coming in with 11.8, 12.4, these are, you know, levels of glycosylated hemoglobin, the normal 6, okay,
mm-hmm.
And we'll have that much drop in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, that's not in the literature, I mean, except in my book. There is a cure for diabetes. They don't see that data. We see LDLs, which is the bad cholesterol, drop to normal, being, you know, an average 147, going down to 82.
Triglycerides?
And triglycerides also drop, but we measured the LDLs, which are the bad cholesterol. And so that's a dramatic changes. The there was a 300% drop in the first 11 people in their C-reactive protein, which measures inflammation.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
And so we're seeing these dramatic, unbelievable drops. The blood sugar average comes in at 247. On medications, they walk out of there an average of blood sugar of 86, fasting blood sugar. These are dramatic drops. And the reason it works is when you cook food, you lose 50% of the protein, 70 to 80% of vitamins and minerals, and up to 95% of the phytonutrients, which are one of the key things that turn on the gene. So what happens is, on live foods, naturally, without trying, you know, in the first month, in something like 3 weeks to a month, you're going to lose 20 to 32 pounds. Okay, that's a lot of weight without trying.
So it's a great diet, too, then.
Yeah, and the reason is, you're not losing all your nutrition cooking it, and so you get at least 50% less food you can eat, and you're getting full nutrition. So that stimulates the anti-aging genes. The truth is, the less you eat, the longer you live. And that's the dramatic thing. So we're actually, this is exciting, we're actually turning on the anti-diabetic genes, the anti-aging genes, which are connected, and that's why it works so dramatically. It also drops people's blood pressure very dramatically. About 95% of the people, once they finish the program, really in the first week, no longer need antihypertensive medications. But that's, like, really fast.
When they go back to their doctors, Gabriel, the diabetic doctor, the person who probably put them on insulin, for example, what do these doctors say to them? They've got to be in shock.
They usually are, and like there was a, we have a movie out called Simply Raw, Reversing Diabetes Normal, and there's a nice little thing about one of the doctors, he's in Florida, he's saying, unbelievable, and how do I send all my people to Arizona? That's a quote.
Everything's happening in Arizona, Christian.
Yeah. But well, also they got a lot of sunshine, so they increase their dopamine there. Doc, I wanted to ask you, it's also a vascular disease, too, is it not?
It is definitely inflamed. You have 2 to 4 times higher rate of heart disease, and 75% of the diabetics die, really, of heart disease.
That's right, yeah.
And that contributes to the fact that you have twice as much Alzheimer's. So what we've done is rediscovered an incredibly simple approach. Now, is everybody going to want to do this? No, but there's 81 million pre-diabetics and diabetics. Mm-hmm. In the last 2 years, there was a 15% increase in diabetics. That's the 24 million. So let's say we get 2%. That's 1.6 million people whose lives are dramatically changed.
Absolutely. And what do you mean by pre-diabetic, Gabriel?
Pre-diabetic is a person who... There's between 25 and 35% of the American population, we're just sticking with Americans in the moment, you know, who are insulin resistant. So pre-diabetic means you're insulin resistant. It means your pancreas is working harder. Your body is resisting the action of insulin. Okay, it's resisting the action of insulin, mm-hmm. and therefore your insulin starts to go up. It can go up 4 times higher. The key is sugar, okay? That's the number one key. 20 years after sugar is brought into a society, there's an outbreak of diabetes.
Yeah.
Second key is high animal products and milk and cooked animal fat. Okay, that's the second thing. Third is watching, well, those are the two big ones, okay? And that's the diet part. Animal products, actually, animal protein, actually increases your insulin resistance. It actually, the 1/4 pound hamburger will increase your insulin resistance as much as 1/4 pound of sugar.
Oh, my God.
So all of these people, we look around, these young people that are overweight, not exercising, a great percentage of them are, would you not say, in the pre-diabetic category?
Yeah, and to be specific, we've gone from 4% type 2 diabetes in young people mm-hmm. to 25%.
Huge.
Yeah, these people...
In the last 10 years. That's unbelievable.
They may not outlive their parents. That's one of the big concerns.
Right. And then if you're a 10-year-old and you get this, by the time you're 25, that means you're more prone to heart disease, you have impotency, you're going blind. You can't even function to support yourself and have a relationship because you're already chronically going downhill. It's very, very sad. The Boston Globe put it really simple. Let's not bother giving these kids bicycles. Let's just wheel out the wheelchairs.
Wow.
That was actually in print. So now the question you may want to ask is, well, how does the New York Times say it's incurable? How does the American Diabetic Association say it's incurable?
And you're curing people.
Exactly. When we mean cure, we mean a normal physiology, a normal blood sugar, okay, and no diabetic medications. That's what we mean. And a normal glycosylated hemoglobin. And how is it? They're simply looking in the wrong place. They are saying, yeah, you can have a little sugar. Yeah, you can do this. You can, you know, you can do a moderate diet. And the result is they don't get good results. So their experience, they're not lying. Their experience is it's incurable.
When they say a man's waist exceeding 40 inches and a woman's waist exceeding 35 inches, they are going to become diabetic sooner or later.
Yeah, in 10 years, if you're pre-diabetic, you'll be diabetic. It's 10% a year. So by 10 years, okay, so that 57 million pre-diabetics become diabetic in 10 years. So they can't do it.
Well, that's great what you're doing, because it's going to take a load off the health system.
Yeah, 7 to 13% of the world budget goes to diabetes. It's huge.
It is huge. What are some of the symptoms of diabetes, Gabriel?
Okay, well, the very first thing we got to look at pre-diabetes is going to be the tendency to have that spare tire.
Okay.
Okay, and then then you start to have the high blood sugar, and then you start to have the fungal infections from the high blood sugar. You're fatigued. Your mind isn't working very well. There's a slow loss of energy, and there's a sense of accelerated aging. Now, we're not talking type 1 diabetes, where, you know, I had one type 1. He goes into the hospital with a blood sugar 1,200.
Oh,
okay.
Type 1.
Remember, 100 is normal.
Yeah.
1,200.
Yeah.
And, you know, in 2 weeks, his blood sugar on our program goes down to 73. And on 2 years later, he's still that. Now, how do we know the type 1? We do a GAD to make that clear. These are type 1 people have antibodies against the beta cells of the pancreas, which produce insulin, okay? And 100% of the type 1s will have a GAD antibodies above 3.55. So that's how we kind of know that, plus the history. Polyuria, you urinate a lot, polydipsia, you're very, very thirsty, and you got modifications of this with the type 2, but in type 1, it's dramatic.
Not to be confused with being dehydrated, for example, right?
Definitely not to be confused with that, but what's happening is you're peeing out, because you have all the sugar, your body starts to starts to urinate as a way to try to eliminate the sugar.
It's got to fight back. How do we get the book, There Is a Cure for Diabetes?
You can get it anywhere.
Still
any
up,
store
all over the
will
place.
Have it.
Great. Gabriel, we've got your websites linked up to coasttocoastam.com.
Good.
And,
I'm going to mention something else. That
yeah.
We, in our program, see, the key to the program is helping people make that transition from the culture of death, all the habits of the culture of death, the high sugar, the high meat, that kind of thing. And we have a year follow-up, and that follow-up is on GabrielCousins.com, which is a social media spiritual network that supports people. We have yearly, monthly live network where we're doing questions and answers, and then we have our nurse calling them, you know, twice a week, once a week, depending on what they need. So we do a lot of support. We consider that absolutely critical to this.
And we're saving lives. That's Dr. Gabriel Cousins. Up next, David Wolf, an authority on natural health. He joins Christian Wild and myself in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. David Wolf joining us now, considered to be one of the world's top authorities on natural health, beauty, nutrition, herbalism, chocolate, and organic superfoods. He leads the field with his mission, his vision. He's got a number of years of dedicated experience and understanding of the inner workings. Here he is back on Coast to Coast. Back. It's been 3 years, David, hasn't it?
It's been 3 years, yeah.
How have you been?
I've been awesome. How are you doing, George?
I'm doing well. And Christian Wild, David Wolf.
Hi, David. Nice to know you.
Hey, Christian. Pleasure.
What's new in 3 years, David?
Oh, incredible innovations in the field of superfoods. I mean, it's just exploding. Things like goji berries, cacao beans, maca, blue-green algae, bee pollen. People are just hungry for this stuff.
How good is this goji berry? I've been hearing a lot about it.
It's, you know, I'm just writing a book on the subject right now, and I can't believe it. I mean, it is blowing my mind. And what these superfoods really do is they preload our immune system with all the materials that we need to produce all the immune system weapons that our body can generate.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is that people are kind of discovering this, and superfoods is a great entryway in, because, you know, wheatgrass is great, but my God, you know, I did so much wheatgrass in the beginning, I would start dry heaving if I drove by somebody mowing their lawn. It was awful.
You wouldn't reach by and just grab a bite of grass then, would you?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, we got to make it easier for people, and superfoods is that bridge that makes it easier, and it gives you the immediate result, which is that, you know, super high-powered nutrition without losing anything. You know, you're not suffering. It's fun to eat.
You would go along with Gabriel Cousins and, of course, what Christian's been saying all night long as well, that regardless of supplements and medicine, you got to watch what you eat, David, huh?
You are what you eat is, I believe, the most powerful phrase we have working for us. And
yeah, wasn't that the book by Adele Davis?
Yes.
One of the very first books on nutrition. She was with the New York health system, and she kind of introduced us, the older guys, to nutrition, that you are what you eat.
That's great, Christian, because I tell you, Adele Davis is unknown to most people in my generation, but I picked up her books and read those years ago, and what an influential woman she was.
Really, huh?
And we're coming to a point now where everybody's, their ears are open. You know, everybody's listening now. It's like people know that, you know, we got to change something in our food, and now what's happening is it's getting easier and easier because of the influx of the superfoods, because of the super high-quality herbs, because raw food no longer is this exotic thing that's far away. You know, there's 218 raw food restaurants worldwide now.
Wow.
That, I mean, there was 215 years ago. That's how different it is.
You mean I shouldn't go out and get a fat, juicy hamburger tonight, David?
Probably not.
If I remember, didn't we talk about chocolate 3 years ago?
Yes, we did, actually.
Okay, and that's supposed to be good for you in its natural form, right?
Right. All chocolate is made out of a nut called cacao, and that nut is spelled C-A-C-A-O, and that's the most widely eaten nut in the world that nobody actually eats because everybody eats it in its processed form. So what we did with a book I put out called Naked Chocolate about 5 years ago, which is still a really hot book, is just brought that truth to people. Like, hey, you don't have to have the processed stuff. Here, have the original nut. And it's been an absolute sensation. I mean, unbelievable things going on in Hollywood right now just with cacao alone.
Isn't it good for the heart?
It's excellent for the heart. Cacao is the number one natural source of magnesium of any natural food in the world, and your heart concentrates that 18 times more than any other organ in your body, and even 18 times more than your blood.
What about pomegranate?
Pomegranate's dynamite. It's about, on the ORAC scale, it falls in at about 100 to 180. Cacao falls in at 621, making it the highest antioxidant food in the world. So
now, what's that one, David? I want to remember that. Which one is that?
That's cacao.
Okay.
Falls in at about 621 on the ORAC scale, making it the highest antioxidant food in the world, even higher than red wine, green tea, blueberries, acai, and pomegranate.
Hey, Christian will go off, David, and do some research on this. Watch.
Yeah, I think so. Exciting to hear. It's hard to keep up with it all because, first of all, they tell us we went from beta-carotene, vitamin C, vitamin E, and then it was blueberries. Everybody has to have blueberries, and then they came out and said pomegranate is stronger antioxidant than blueberries. And now the new berry that you're talking about.
Goji berries.
Goji berries, right.
Goji berry and pomegranate are pretty close. Goji berry is in the 120 to 160 range on the ORAC scale, which is very close to pomegranate, which is about 2 to 3 times more than blueberries.
What about raspberries, David?
Raspberries are about 20 to 30 on the ORAC scale. Sometimes, like a black raspberry, is even higher. That's about a 40 or 50, making it on par with a blueberry. And, of course, I'm a big raspberry eater. It's raspberry season right here at my house, so we're having it every single day.
So,
George, you and I can have that greasy hamburger tomorrow if we have the juice with it.
We need a lot of that juice.
We'll use a pomegranate chaser.
My gosh. Well, you know, David, tell us about just being smart here. People being smart about what they do, what they ingest.
Well, you know, probably Gabriel and Christian have been talking about just the power of food and healing, and the power of herbs and healing. But my message has never really been that. My message is about how, when you're well, when you feel good, how do you feel even better?
Mm-hmm.
How do you turn the juice on peak performance? And, you know, with this film we did with the Simply Raw movie, Mm-hmm. You know, we took 6 diabetics, put them on raw foods for a month, and just unbelievable changes. But my God, what if you have no health problems? What would be the changes? And here's what happens, and here's been my experience. It turns on unbelievable dormant powers of your nervous system, your wit, intelligence. It turns you into like a peak performer in whatever it is that you do. And that, to me, is the real message underlying it all, because no one wants to wait till they get sick.
That, if I can interject, that kind of reminds me of somebody who's on a fast, and the less energy that's spent in digesting all the wrong foods goes to, it gives you a higher spiritual feeling. It's been apparent with anyone who's been on fast.
Definitely. And, you know, this is the thing, you know, even with people, like, I love Alex Jones, I love what he does, and I see him and I see, you know, what intense kind of person he is, and I think, my God, if this guy would eat superfoods and herbs and raw foods, what would happen is...
Yeah, we don't want him.
...spiritual feeling.
We don't want him on that kind of food. Then God knows what would happen. That's right.
You know, but it's that high spiritual feeling of, like, you know, all is well in the world. Yeah, there's problems. Yeah, there's this, you know, weird stuff going on. But my God, you know, in your own personal life, you can't be dwelling on that stuff. You got to.
I agree with what you're talking about.
How come we don't hear too much about cures in the media, David?
Well, it's, you know, the media is controlled, obviously, and that's why your show is so great, George, because you can get these truths out, and it can, and, you know, media is mostly big companies, but there are a few shows like yours, George, and the internet that allow people to get access to this stuff. And what's happening is the internet and your show has blown open the centralized control of the cures. And all of a sudden, we're starting to see that, hey, there is no death sentence. There is no, you know, there is an answer to cancer. There are ways to develop great, you know, support structures through your food, through your exercise, through your thinking, so you never get ill, and all that becomes available in the age of information.
Mm-hmm.
Christian, do you personally watch what you eat?
Yeah, I could do a lot better. He's inspiring me.
Absolutely.
Right on.
I mean, coupled with what you know in the supplements you take, mm-hmm. if you're eating well, you know, you can't do any better than that.
I would say that I eat red meat very rarely. I'm eating an awful lot of vegetables. I'm eating spinach that I never ate before for vitamin K2. And I'm doing a lot of things differently than in the past few years.
You know what, Christian? I think everybody is.
Mm-hmm. But I do love fruit all my life. I was raised on a farm. Every day I'm eating fruit and vegetables.
Well, that's important.
Right.
David, how about sleep? A lot of people don't get enough sleep. Is that important?
It is important, but what Christian was alluding to earlier, the less you eat, the more energy you have, so the less sleep you need. Mm-hmm. Now, that's all well and good, just me saying that, but how do you eat less, really? You have to have food that has more nutrition in it so you feel full.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, I mean, raw food is great, and fruit and vegetables essential, right? And, you know, having nuts and seeds, but superfoods and herbs is really where the rubber hits the road, and that's an easier road in for people so that you get that, you know, that real heavy nutrition, but not a whole lot of lethargy behind it.
When you talk about nuts and seeds, David, you don't want a lot of salty stuff, right?
Yeah, well, I'm talking about, like, raw almonds, raw cashews, which is my personal favorite,
mm-hmm.
and of course raw hemp seeds, which is, well, thank God, that's legal in America now.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the kinds of super kind of nuts and seeds that we should all be having. Not,
you know,
roasted.
David, if people try it, if they try it, you know, they think right off in front, I don't think I'd like to eat that way. Once they try it, they find out that, hey, this is really pretty good, and I do feel better.
You know, last time I was on the show, George, a guy contacted me. He had deadly liver cancer. I mean, he was given a couple months to live.
Oh my God!
He showed up a couple years later, and he told me the story. You know, when he had contacted me, you know, because I forgot, and he had completely healed himself just eating raw foods, superfoods, and herbs, and was literally in a state of ecstasy. I mean, imagine if being given a death sentence and then actually healing yourself.
He detoxified that liver.
Yeah, and the liver is probably one of the most Well, it's probably one of the most forgiving organs.
It is. Rejuvenative.
And, you know, this is the power of it. So, you know, anybody listening, you just start where you're at. You can take baby steps, but you got to do something different. And you got to, we're given a new meaning to ADD. And we're, instead of it being attention deficit disorder, we're now saying it means add. And that means add in the good stuff and let it just crowd out the bad stuff over time.
What about a starting program for people, David? How do we wean ourselves into this?
The best thing to do is to move towards buying organic food. Education is super critical. Listening to shows like this, watching films like the Simply Raw film, just getting in front of a produce aisle at the organic food store and just going, I don't know what to do, but I'll just pick whatever's here and just figure it out. Adding in superfoods could be something as simple as spirulina, or it could be something like goji berries or the raw chocolate. And then, you know, herbs. Let's simplify herbs for everybody. You don't need 5,000 herbs. All you need is like 4, 5, or 6 of the most powerful. You know, ginseng, reishi mushroom, maitake mushroom, astragalus, you know, simple stuff like this that you get in any health food store. You don't need to be a genius. You just need 3 or 4. And to actually take them is when the magic happens.
Do you notice how much weight people lose by eating this way?
It's phenomenal. I was just, you know, Bill, one of the guys in the film, the Simply Raw film, he lost 32 pounds in 1 month.
Like Gabriel Cousins, I guess it helps you if you're a diabetic.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, a diabetic condition type 2, anyway, is really a mineral deficiency syndrome coupled with some toxicity caused by rancid fats, trans fatty acids.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get that out of your diet, then all of a sudden your blood sugar goes back to normal, everything goes back to normal. I have a woman staying with me right now, and she had a friend, years diabetic, 20 years, 10 days on raw food, boom, everything goes away, goes back to the old food, the problems come back. And that's just good for people to know. You know, I'm not trying to tell people what to do, but man, we got to have options.
David, do you use a lot of brown rice?
I eat wild rice, sprouted.
Mm-hmm.
But not very often, you know, occasionally. But I'm a raw foodist, Christian. You know, I've been a raw foodist for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I grew up on peak performance technology from Napoleon Hill to Earl Nightingale to all that stuff. And when I found out about raw foods, you know, I wasn't sick, but I thought, man, I want to turn on the juice in my life. And I can hardly even really describe how powerful raw and living foods is for people who are healthy, let alone people who are sick.
Mm-hmm.
David, where do people get information on your work?
You can go to sunfood.com and simplyrawmovie.com. They have a whole thing on me on there. And I want to mention that that film with Gabriel, and that Gabriel and I really helped put together, if anybody gets that film from that website, simplyrawmovie.com, then we give away a free film to a diabetic organization somewhere in the world. So it's actually kind of a two-for-one. So you're kind of giving a donation of a film away.
Mm-hmm.
All right, very good. Christian, any more calls, any more questions for David?
No, I'm totally in tune with what he's talking about.
Uh-huh.
It makes me more aware of spending a little more effort in eating right.
Well, we all should.
Right.
You know, you can't go halfway.
Right.
And, David, how long have you been practicing this?
It's been over 15 years, and it's radical. I mean, I love it. It's like, you know, it's the greatest gift that ever happened in my life, because I can go out in my forest right behind my house and I can eat wild berries, wild cherries, wild foods, and I'm completely sustainable. I don't need to go to a store. I don't need to get in the car. In fact, when I'm at my house, I don't even get in the car for weeks.
David, give us an idea of what you'll eat for lunch tomorrow.
I'm going to be going out. I've got gooseberries just coming into season. I've got blueberries, wild raspberries, and then I'm going to make I'm going to mix that up with some wild honey, local, and wild bee pollen, and make a big old like fruit kind of honey thing out of it, and then eat that. And I'll have that for breakfast and lunch tomorrow. And then
you better eat faster. One of those bears are going to get it.
I know there's bears around here, and they love that stuff.
Hey, honey's gone up in price since the honeybees disappeared last year.
Oh, that's
year,
right, yeah.
Haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, but see, the organic industry and the organic honeybee industry is not nearly as affected as the conventional industry. And so that's good for people to know. You know, if you're going to go organic, hey, it's a great way to help the bees,
mm-hmm.
because the organic bee industry is still intact.
Where do you live, Dave?
I have a place here in Ontario, Canada, even though I'm an American.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have a place in Hawaii, and at both places we have bees and gardens, and we also have, you know, wild lands right behind the house.
And coqui frogs.
Coqui frogs, not yet on my island, but there are big ones. There's tons of them on the Big Island.
I get a call every once in a while from some people out that way, and you can hear the frogs in the background chirping away.
Deafening. It's a deafening roar.
There must be thousands of them back there.
They're just this little tiny frog, but they produce the most unbelievable roar out of that jungle.
David, you know, what's the future like with this? I mean, any new revelations coming out we should know about?
Well, I'll tell you, what's happening is that more and more people are contacting me, George, wanting to learn survival skills.
That is important.
Yeah, and so I'm getting a lot more of that. So what I'm doing is just showing people how to pick the right kinds of mushrooms in the forest, which herbs to eat, what are the right berries to choose, what's the right stuff to grow in your garden. That seems to be where it's all going because, you know, we all grew lettuce and tomatoes in our garden, but we didn't grow goji berries, but we can do that now. You know, the stuff we have at Sun Food, those goji berries, we sprouted 64 of 64 of those goji berries recently. 100% came up.
Spell that, goji.
It's G-O-J-I.
So that's, if you were to recommend, if we were to start with one particular berry, that would be the one?
That would be the one. And I'd also recommend that when you get some, save a few and pull the seeds out and plant those. And again, we had 100% sproutability of those seeds. And this is incredible survival food, the number one ranked food herb in Chinese medicine. 8,000 food herbs in that system, 5,000 years of history.
What do they taste like, dear?
They're kind of like a raisin with an herbal back end to it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is that where they came from, China?
Well, they grow mostly in Mongolia, China, and Tibet, but they also grow in the Arizona desert. There's about 15 species in the Americas, 85 species in Asia.
Wow.
And, you know, it's interesting because Native Americans ate the goji berry, but it's been almost completely lost to the Native Americans who are currently living in Arizona.
Interesting. All right, David, thank you so much.
Thanks,
George, and thanks, Christian. Have the best night.
My pleasure.
Christian, when we come back, we'll take some phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, this hour we're going to take your phone calls with Christian Wild about stem cells, hearts, herbs, you name it. And by the way, it doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're 25 or 64, one day you're going to need this information, maybe sooner than later. You know, the next thing we need to get, Christian, are bicycles.
Okay.
What do you think? Do you do that?
Well, sure, I used to.
It's great exercise, isn't it?
Yeah, if you don't get run over in Los Angeles, but it's a great exercise.
That is so true. What I like about this program is we learn from you. And then we all learn from other guests as well.
It's just a great program.
Let's go to the phones. We've got a lot of people lining up to talk with you. Merlin in Illinois, welcome to the program. Merlin?
Yes, hi. Merlin, phoning from Chicago.
Okay, sir.
And I have type 2 diabetes. My parents both died of heart attacks at relatively young ages. So I do take insulin. I have to take it twice a day, and if my blood sugar shoots up like over 150, then I got to mix regular with NPH and all that, you know. So I'm not thrilled about having to take shots.
Are you on Glucophage? What drug are you on now?
It's I take Metformin.
Yes.
The tablet.
Right.
And then NPH. And that's what it says in the bottle. It's a type of insulin, and then regular insulin. And so on. So the regular insulin just brings the blood sugar down really fast.
Are you on a fibrate drug like Tricor?
No, they don't. I don't take anything like that I'm aware of.
You don't have a problem with triglycerides. Normally, a diabetic will have high triglycerides.
Does that mean high cholesterol?
Well, it's not the LDL or the overall cholesterol or the HDL. It is the fats that are in the blood, and it's called triglycerides.
Okay. I have, I do take a statin.
Uh-huh.
I get like Zocor.
Right.
I take a half of one of those
right.
in the evening. And of course, an aspirin in the morning when it was a little like a
baby aspirin.
Milligram.
Yeah, you take it in the fish oil?
Yeah. Or, you know, I ran out of fish oil,
uh-huh.
so I saw some organic flax oil.
Mm-hmm. Flaxseed, that works too, though.
It works too. Walnuts.
Yeah, I have that. I take I take a whole host of things. I do take the turmeric, and I went to the grocery store in McCormick. Of course, they're the spice people. They make a ground turmeric.
Mm-hmm.
And in a little container, and I'll sprinkle that on rice or certain things. I'm not a real big fan of curry and turmeric, you know, but I'll take that. And then I also take the turmeric in a capsule.
Mm-hmm.
So I take that. I also take a little bit of human growth hormone.
Are you able to get some exercise?
Yeah, I try and ride my bike. You know, as much.
Well, that's good.
Can.
George is talking about a bike. Maybe you could ride with us.
Yeah, ride all the way, right from Chicago.
Okay, they talk about losing 10 or 15 pounds can sometimes help a great deal. And keeping the waistline for a man, as we were just talking, below 40 inches. Blood pressure, 130, below 130. And get a half an hour exercise a day, even if it's riding a stationary bike. But keeping the weight down, stay away from white things. That means white potatoes, white rice, white bread. Add a little bit of cinnamon, half a spoon or a spoon to your oatmeal.
That's good to keep your glucose level down, too.
Yes, it is. That's right.
By the way, for everyone, it's turmeric.
Turmeric. And the best you can get...
T-U-R.
...is to get turmeric-curcumin combination. You'll
yes.
get a better result.
Yep, absolutely. You know, you can just do a search. There's a lot of great supplement companies out there.
I'm telling you, folks, you aren't going to believe, because it really shocked me. You know, there's 2 million, if you did a search right now on the computer for turmeric research, there'll be over 2 million articles and papers written on it.
It's huge.
It's huge. So I'm going to include all of those if I can, as many as I can, in the letter. Because there are breakthroughs and things that that turmeric is involved in that every day I'm doing the studying, I'm kind of shocked.
Does your newsletter come out every month or every other month?
It's quarterly.
Quarterly. Okay. Gives you more time to look for some breakthrough things.
Yeah, because, you know, you really want to find special gems.
You know, also, I'm a believer in some of Edgar Cayce's remedies, Christian. I don't know if you've looked into that.
Oh, I studied Edgar Cayce. I've probably read every one of his books. Even had met a fellow who came back from the Second World War, if I can remember this story. We got a minute? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
His father and Edgar Cayce were friends. So the young boy goes in the service. And one day, the guy goes over for a reading, and he says, my son is in the Battle of the Bulge. Is he going to come home? I believe, or was it the First World War? I hope I don't have the wrong battle. Anyway.
The Battle of the Bulge is World War II.
Yeah.
That we know for sure.
So he said, your son is going to be blinded, but he will come home. And that's exactly what happened to the boy.
Yeah, he was incredible. One of the things that he recommended in his many medical readings was what is called a wet cell battery that you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
It's cost like a couple $100 for the parts,
mm-hmm.
And it comes in a kit form. I've been thinking of doing it. It basically puts you back electronically. You know, the body's electric.
The body's electric.
Yep, body's electric, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it does. And he was
a
believer.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. And, I mean, here's a guy back in the 30s and 40s
mm-hmm.
who said this.
Mm-hmm.
And now science is beginning to say, you know what, the body is electric. You got to keep it there. And it's amazing.
You remember the place that he said was the safest to live in the United States?
Mm.
Speaking of earthquakes, when he, in a trance, he did all the faults. He drew all the faults.
Oh, yeah, and he also had a picture of what would happen, basically saying North America would be not like it is right now.
Oh, that's right. So he said Virginia Beach is the safest place.
And that's where he set his shop up.
Right.
Let's go back to the phones. Jim in Ohio, you're on Coast to Coast, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, guys. Hi, Kristen and George. You know, I was wondering, because I don't want cholesterol to always get a bad rap.
No, you need it.
I know you're doing. Isn't it true that you need it because it combines at the skin level with sunshine to create a natural form of vitamin D that's essential for assimilation of calcium in the human body? I mean, you need that. But talk about detoxifying the liver. I've done it. I fell in the trap of lowering my cholesterol at the expense of my prescribed statin drug that caused me to have severe liver damage, and I felt and looked terrible. Mm-hmm. I gave up on Big Pharma and went into a natural intermixture. I won't go into the company, but it had like guar gum, locust bean gum, pectin, oat fiber, calcium, and a host of vitamins.
Let me ask you, what strength of medication were you taking?
I was taking 10 milligrams of Crestor.
Crestor.
Yeah.
Well,
which is
Crestor, actually, the FDA would not give Crestor the highest dosage approval because they were concerned about it.
That's true.
Yeah.
And it's a powerful drug. Now, that is, unless you had a real serious problem, I'm surprised the doctor would even put you on that. It seems like he would say, you know, you don't have an out-of-line cholesterol problem, so let's try you with this or let's try you with that. Or
how's Zocor?
Zocor is a good drug. I like Zocor.
All right.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you, Christian, that when he saw my cholesterol went from 280 to 160 using that mixture that I just told you.
Well, if it was 260, then I can understand why he put you on it in the first place.
Exactly.
But you damaged the liver, huh?
But the thing is that nobody knows what it feels like when your liver gets tap danced on by the pharmaceutical drugs that you could get by those without having to take the Big Pharma medication. And when I did, I felt wonderful, looked wonderful by getting rid of the statin drug and using the natural drug. And I mean, it was unbelievable. You know, the one thing I have to ask you though, can beta cell receptor drugs like atenolol, toprol, et cetera, can they cause a problem with the beta cells in the pancreas that would interfere with insulin production?
Oh, I couldn't answer that. Now, why would you be taking toprol or...
I have mitral valve prolapse and I didn't want palpitations, you know?
Do you have atrial fibrillation also?
No, not at all. I just have, like, palpitations that are secondary to...
Sounds like he needs Hawthorne, huh? Christian?
Well, that's amazing. You mentioned that. Hawthorne is important to the rhythm of the heart. But you obviously have a serious condition with your cardiologist. You're working with him. So I wouldn't want to offer any advice there that you...
Oh, I appreciate that. I just want everybody to know that cholesterol has a natural, wonderful function in the body, and it's taken such a bad rap.
Well, you just don't want it too high, right?
Let me add to that. Depression and hostile attitude,
stress.
All of those things can happen when the dopamine drops to certain levels and your serotonin levels drop when the cholesterol goes too low.
It's a danger if it's too high. It's a danger if it's too low.
It's the LDL that you're really concerned about. Getting the LDL to 65 or 70, 75 range is your goal. Not lowering. The unfortunate thing is in order to drop the LDL.
There's good cholesterol, too, they call it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But the HDL. But in order to get the cholesterol, the LDL where you want it, unfortunately, physicians sometimes drop you way down. See, there's tremendous body of evidence on cholesterol being too high. There's not that much on being too low.
Too low, exactly.
However, there is a study being done with the National Institutes of Heart Health right now.
I haven't heard you talk about Q10.
No, and it's my favorite. If you're on, I'm glad you mentioned, George. If anybody out there is on a statin drug, you need to talk to your doctor about being on coenzyme Q10. You're working against yourself, and you cannot buy it.
Because a cholesterol lower drug depletes your body of that.
About 50%. And as you're getting a little older, you're losing your body's normal production of coenzyme Q10. Every cell of the body needs it. And what George said is dead on right. The statin drug interferes with the body's production of it. You must have it. There's all kind of studies on that. And as a matter of fact, if you try to buy
Lipitor or Zocor in Canada, it would come on the prescription that you must take coenzyme Q10 to counterbalance what you're going to lose with the statin drug. Now, not everybody knows this.
That's true. Michael in California, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, George, and hi, Christian. I had a couple questions for Christian, but
sure.
First I just wanted to thank you, George. You really, in a way, you helped to save my mom's life. In late April, you had Dr. Tom Vallone on, and he brought up his friend Dr. Glenn Gordon, who invented that electromagnetic pulse device. And my mom was having congestive heart failure. I mean, she was within a day or two of dying. She was abandoned by our primary care doctor and our cardiologist. I'm screaming at their receptionist, please help my mother. They wouldn't even pick up the phone to talk to me. And over the course of that weekend, that was on a Friday, my mom really went downhill. Monday morning, I called Dr. Vallone. He expressed the EM device to us. He got it to us within a day. And we got a hospice. My mom got on oxygen, and we're still taking something. I don't know if you've heard of this, Christian. It's Stem Flow and Stem Enhance by the.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I don't have an opinion on it.
I was going to ask if you did, but
I will say this: that apparently, is your mother in late stage heart failure?
Well, she has. Aortic stenosis and a leaking mitral valve, and she had congestive heart failure. I mean, her breathing was completely labored over that weekend, and I gave her maybe 1 to 2 days to live. I mean, she was gasping for air, and between these three items I just mentioned, she is alive and doing quite well as we speak. And while I myself had a coronary at the age of 48, much to my surprise, I was a vegetarian for over a decade, and my right coronary artery just shut down on me. I didn't even know I was having a heart attack.
Where are you in California?
I'm in Oceanside.
Okay.
You mentioned something about some other centers that were doing...
Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me think. La Jolla would be the quickest one for you.
Oh, yeah. That's not far away.
All right. I'm going to get those and put them in the newsletter in the next few days.
Okay. And I can call that number you gave out.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I'm not online, so I just got an address I can write to you, George.
I'm going to give you something else.
Absolutely.
I think Dr. McCarr might be listening tonight. Now, he is... probably, well, without a doubt, one of the finest interventional cardiologists in the country. And he has a breakthrough with a new procedure for aortic valve stenosis. You may want to contact him at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles.
And what's his name again?
Raj McCarr, M-A-K-K-A-R.
I was just going to ask, thanks for spelling that.
He is.
Great.
He's a cut above.
All right, Michael, good luck to you. You know, and that's amazing. You know, we don't do a lot of these programs, Christian, but when we do, they're intense, they're important, and if they help one person,
absolutely,
they're worth it.
And I think
as far
we
as
do.
I'm concerned. Now, we help more than one. We really do. Would you get your P.O. box out again? You know, he just reminded me, even though a lot of us are beginning to become computer savvy, there are some people who don't have computers.
That's right. Okay, thank you. It's Wild Research, P.O. Box 1363, P.O. Box 1363, Studio City, California, 91604. 1363, Studio City, 91604. And if you want to look at the newsletter and read the books, they're on the website. If you are online, and that's www.myheartbook.com. And hey, I'm going to give you one more. Here's a phone number. I'm not going to let you folks get away. The phone number is 866 STEM, STEM 123. Thanks, George.
Roger in Canada. Take it away, Roger.
Hey, George. How you doing, Christian?
Roger, how are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Thanks. Just wanted to throw out a question for you and see if you know of any good research that's happening out there to help those who are visually impaired with retinitis pigmentosa?
Yes, there is.
Okay,
yes, there is. Contact Dr. Francis, the KCI Institute in Oregon. There is a trial that's going to be starting for retinitis pigmentosa.
Do you have a contact number?
No, I can't give you that much. I'm just doing this off the top of my head.
Okay, can you repeat that?
KCI Institute.
KCI?
Casey, C-A-S-E-Y.
Okay, in
just
Oregon.
Like it. Oh,
right.
Not like it. Edgar's K-A-C-A-Y-C-E.
Okay, well, God bless you, and thanks
God bless
so much.
You, brother. Take care.
All right, Christian, we're going to keep you for another half hour. We're going to take final phone calls when we come right back. Christian Wild's website, and he's helped so many people, is myheartbook.com. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And a lot of what we're talking about tonight, Christian, is disciplined. You know, for example, our friend over at one of the chat rooms, NighthawkZone.com, and he goes by the name of Bad Boy,
mm-hmm.
and though he's not a bad boy. He is so meticulous. You know, over the last 3 years, I've had a chance to, you know, get to know him online and just by the things he writes and things like that. He's meticulous. I mean, he shops for the right flat screen before he buys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he does this in his own health, too. I mean, he actually studies things that you would say. But he's indicative of what I think so many people are becoming, and that is just to be smart about what you do, what you eat, what you buy, where you go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important.
What surprises me, George, is I see a lot of young people that kind of surprised me because they know so much about nutrition, and they'll drink water. They won't drink soda pop.
Right.
And they'll, of course, they'll go out and do drugs at night.
Not all of them. Not all of them.
I'm just making a joke of it. But they won't eat red meat. They're very conscious of what they eat, and they're knowledgeable. It's good to see.
I take EDTA. I take it orally now.
Good.
And, you know, I think it works. I think it helps flush out your arteries. Now you have to supplement it with minerals.
I just talked to a friend the other day, and he's a very knowledgeable young man, and he said that he notices a big difference. And he said that, I know it's not placebo effect. I've been on it for 8 weeks, and he said that I'd really see a difference.
I'll tell you a quick story, then we'll take final phone calls.
Good, I like stories.
5 years ago, I felt my calcium was getting high. I had it checked. It was. The doctor who is he's a medical doctor, but he's into holistic medicine out here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me an ultrasound check of my carotid artery.
Sure.
One of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, 5 years ago, so that would have made me 53, okay? He said, you have the carotid artery of a guy who is 70, and you are in the 90th percentile of high.
Okay.
All right. Then I went on my EDTA burst,
uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
Year later, I go back to him, and he goes, you are now in the 33th percentile.
No, isn't that sweet?
And listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but you have a carotid artery that's like a 40-year-old.
Now, that's, I mean, what more do you need?
I know
that's
that.
Proof positive.
Absolutely.
Now,
right
I'll give you a story.
All right.
A friend of mine, it's in the book Hidden Causes. If you read, you know, it's in there somewhere. I haven't looked at it for years. But he is a golf pro, and he goes to Phoenix for his identical twin brother's funeral. And he's standing at the coffin, and the doctor comes up to him, who was the his brother's doctor, and he said, my God, he said, did you give me a start? He said, I had no idea that Joe had an identical twin brother. And they talked for a little while, and he said, when are you going back to Los Angeles? He said, I'm going about 4 o'clock flight tomorrow. He said, do me a favor. Come into my office tomorrow morning, no charge. This story is about aneurysms, okay? They run in families.
Yeah.
So my friend Sam goes in to see the doctor. Doctor laid him on the table, felt and found an abdominal aortic aneurysm in exactly the same place his brother had it.
Oh.
He said, it's ready to burst. I want to operate on you later today. Saved his life.
Saved his life. He would have died within days.
So the point is, if you have any family history of aneurysms, and they don't have to be just in the brain or in the heart, they could be anywhere. Anyone in first-degree relatives or your grandparents, please make your doctor aware of it so they can check you out.
Do you sometimes wake up and you just feel strange? I mean, you know, you feel healthy, but sometimes you just feel a little out of it a little bit.
Well, I mean, are you speaking from a cardiovascular standpoint?
No, just on a mental basis.
Oh, there are days, yeah, when you've got things in your subconscious.
Are we having mini strokes and we don't know it?
Ooh, well, in the book is another situation. There are 11 million people, according to Megan Leary from UCLA. She studied the brains, the scans, of 5,000 people. And she determined that there are 11 million strokes a year that we don't have any idea about, and the physician has no idea about,
yep,
because they don't manifest, George, in a physical manifestation. They don't suddenly make the jaw drop, the eye doesn't drop, the speech isn't affected,
mm-hmm,
and the arm isn't affected.
Yes.
Now, a thrombotic stroke that does that, it's obvious that the person just had a stroke. But when these strokes strike in other areas of the brain that do not affect the countenance or the walk, nobody knows you've had a stroke. So what happens is the doctor says, gee, this person has a little dementia, or maybe there's some Alzheimer's, or it's just age that's causing them not to be so cognizant. But what's really happened is the toll is being taken where those strokes have struck in different areas of the brain that do not give themselves away by the jaw dropping, the arm dropping, or the,
yeah,
loss of a leg, or the speech pattern.
And maybe they clear themselves up pretty quickly, too.
Well, the body has great reserve, and it definitely can heal itself.
MS.
That's what we want to do. That's what medicine wants to do, is to get the body in a position of homeostasis where it can go ahead and do its best job in healing itself.
Multiple sclerosis. My friend had her on first hour. She's,
I heard that,
invented a new device. But will stem cells work on that?
Definitely.
MS?
Yeah, it's in one of the news reports that there's a trial going on right now.
I may have you get a hold of her.
I could put her in touch with the, it's in Canada. It's an MS trial. It's kind of a tough trial, but the results, the early results were outstanding. That's why they're going ahead with it.
Okay. Why don't we do that?
Okay.
And then she can make up her own mind.
Absolutely.
First time caller line, Brad in Tennessee. Hi, Brad.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good.
Hey, Christian. My question is, what do you have an opinion on, like, these health juices like Monavi and Zango that out there? I mean, I see all these claims that people make, you know, on YouTube and stuff like that, but, you know, about lowering cholesterol, things like that, lowering glucose levels in the blood. Any input on that?
Yeah, I watch all of those things with a little reservation, with a grain of salt. A lot of these things are multi-marketed. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Multi-level marketed?
Yes.
And they can make all kind of claims, and you don't know for sure. That's why I was kind of asking Mr. Wolf, Dr. Wolf, that was just on, you know, what he recommended. I had great faith in him as we were talking.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people out there that you don't know. Another thing, you don't know what's in the vitamins you buy.
Right.
I mean, anybody can say anything. Now, keep in mind, please don't misunderstand me. I don't ever want the government to get involved in monitoring vitamins and supplements. I do believe,
but quality control is important.
Yeah, but there isn't too much, and I do believe the industry itself should be policing itself so that the government can never get their hands in it.
Right.
And if you have a code of ethics and a code of standards that you must sign to if you're going to be in their organization, then the public least knows that you're getting a certain amount of coenzyme Q10 that you're supposed to get.
Like the Good Housekeeping seal of approval or
Very
something.
Very good example.
Yeah. How about apple cider vinegar? What do you know about that?
Oh, that was Jarvis, and there were books on it, and I've had people swear by it, and I don't have an opinion. I do know one thing. It helps with the acid and the pH balance in your blood.
Does
it? Is important.
Teaspoon a day, maybe,
yeah,
maybe a capsule.
Can't hurt you.
All right, next up, let's go to Tony in Minnesota. Hey, Tony, go ahead.
Hey, Tony.
Tony?
How's it going?
You okay, Tony, go ahead.
Christian.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
When you slip into a psychosis or some sort of paranoia,
mm-hmm.
What exactly happens to the brain? I mean, what goes on in the brain that makes people? Because I went through, like, some people say it's psychosis, some people say it was paranoia, and I was.
Well, who said? Did the doctor say it, or some friend of yours?
My aunt, she's a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
She says it was a form of psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
Other doctors say it was a form of paranoia, and some of them say it was a slight schizophrenia.
Mm.
I'm not very sure on what happened. I don't know how I slipped into it or anything. I just, all of a sudden, I felt like
that was one time?
Yep, it only happened one time, and I felt like people were saying stuff to me. Like I was, there's like a sign for something that I was supposed to get. Something totally happened to my brain that I don't even know what happened to it.
That's a little out of my area.
Okay. I thought maybe you could have maybe...
Yeah, I wouldn't even try to answer that, but sorry.
All right. Fair enough. Ethan in Utah, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Ethan.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you so much for the show.
Sure.
I just wanted to have a question for you. I am a gastric bypass patient. I lost about 160 pounds over about a three-year period.
Okay.
And no matter what I do, I cannot raise my iron level. I mean, the doctor has put me on, you know, iron pills and just, you know, increased my diet. I feel like I eat eggs on a daily basis. I feel like a carnivore.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get this value to go up. And
how low is it? How low is your iron?
My hematocrit last time they checked was about 40.
Mm.
Typical for a male, I think it's about 60 to above.
I've got a friend, Christian, who has hemochromatosis. He's got too much iron.
Exactly.
He's got to go in and get a pint of blood taken out every month.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because I have a fellow that listened to the program one night, bought the book, and has a whole lifetime of problems. And he's been to doctor after doctor after doctor. He reads a chapter on hemochromatosis in the book and says, well, maybe this is my problem. And I get emails from him, and he may be listening tonight. And he's doing really well. And then he turned around and took the advice and had his other relatives test it for it. And I think two or three of them also had it and didn't have any idea.
You know, you're taking iron tablets, I guess?
Yeah, but you know, it's iron tablets, and then my internal medicine doctor just switched me to prenatal vitamins because she
mm-hmm.
said those are pretty high in, you know, stuff you need. My concern is I'm starting to lose hair.
Oh.
And there isn't a history in my family of pattern baldness on the male side or anything.
Mm.
Well, your estrogen level's good and all of that.
Yeah. My only concern is, you know, the only thing she can come up with is possible malnourishment, because, you know, when you have a gastric bypass, your stomach goes from about the size of a fist to the...
Oh, wait a minute. You said I didn't hear you at first, but
that's what you
said. You had a gastric bypass.
Yep.
Well, there, of course, that's going to change everything.
Are there any supplements or anything like that
you might want to go to a good nutritional MD doctor or an endocrinologist.
Okay.
They should be able to deal with that. That is probably a common occurrence with gastric bypass surgery.
All righty. Well, thank you so much, and I'll definitely be picking your book up.
Thank you. You know, George?
Yes, sir.
It's funny. I got to share this with you. Every time you mention that web address and that phone number, this thing goes crazy.
And then it happens.
Then it goes quiet. Yeah.
Then it happens for days.
It's okay. Thank you. Next caller.
Let's go to Patty in Minnesota, east of the Rockies. Couple minutes to go. Hi, Patty.
Hi, gentlemen. Wonderful show. I was wondering if there are supplements for people or, you know, person or whatever that has had, like, a stroke, diabetes, hypothyroidism, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, or if in your book you would be able to answer some of those questions.
Well, are you saying you have all the above?
Well, yeah.
Wow. Rather than just, you see, it would be dishonest for me to say, grab this, grab that.
It's a whole lifestyle program here.
Yeah, you need to work with a nutritional doctor who can understand and appreciate what you're dealing with and can give you some really solid advice so they don't waste your money.
Right.
Because everybody will have an answer for you.
And you have to be very disciplined. You have to just do it.
You have to do it, yeah.
Yeah. And my gait's real bad, too, now and stuff. So.
Wow.
Yeah, but I didn't know if there was something, you know. See, I just see a general practitioner, so I don't know if...
Probably wouldn't be your answer.
Yeah.
I would like... You need a specialist that can deal with what you're dealing with.
You have to do that. Christian, what's your next work on? I mean, you're going to concentrate on the newsletter. Your latest work,
of course. I'm thinking of a book, and I'm not sure which one it'll be. I'm not quite sure what it is, and I got a couple other projects that I'm kicking around with.
Would you follow up for me, by the way, with the National Institute of Health? They are in the midst of their EDTA intravenous study.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't doing it the right way. I mean, for example... You really need an antibiotic if you're going to do this because you're kicking up bacteria when you do
this. That's true, aren't you?
But if you would just check into it, it was a 5-year program that I think was going to conclude.
I'd be real interested
around 2008 or 9.
Because I've been trying to find out, you know, if anybody has anything definitive as far as cardiovascular plaque.
This is the study. They're working on it.
Well, I'll definitely follow up. You'll be hearing from me.
Okay, good.
Then we need to talk about that lady with the MS.
Yes.
I'll call producer Tom.
Call Tom. Get her number. Call Harriet down in St. Louis and get her in the study.
Mr. Nouri?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. It's
You're not done. We've got another 2 minutes to go.
Good. Get somebody
Where
on
Where are you
the
going?
Line.
John in Canada, first-time caller. Hi, John.
Oh, great. I'm so glad I got on.
Sure thing.
Especially to talk to this man. Well, I'll make a statement. Paxil?
Yes.
And Buscopan.
Hmm.
What do you think of those?
Well, I was put on Paxil. Am I allowed to do it this way? I was put on Paxil. I went to the mall, got the prescription, took one pill. I hit the floor about 10 minutes later.
Okay, we only have a moment. Let me ask you this.
Okay, I have Crohn's disease.
You have Crohn's?
Yes.
I think I'm going to write about that in the newsletter.
Great.
Yeah, that's
the point. I know people that have had these colostomies.
Yes.
Especially a very close friend. She was put on life support for 4 days after nearly killed her. But the doctor I saw, it's like you either get it or don't come to me anymore.
All right. I don't mean to interrupt you, but we only have a minute.
Yes.
Did anybody talk to you about Lexapro?
What was that one?
Lexapro, what is that?
That is a very popular, easily taken medication in the same family of Paxil.
Lexapro. All right, check into that, John.
Actually, now they got me on Zyprexa instead and some other things.
Were you on Effexor also?
Oh, yes. I'm so sensitive to most of these drugs that I get all I ever get is a side effect. So far, right. The ones I'm on right now, I don't
see, you're talking about drugs that boost both the dopamine and the serotonin level. Fish oil for
all
depression.
All right, my friend
also.
Christian. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There's our contribution to mankind. Open lines tomorrow night. For Kara Scoburn, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Nori, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.